There are some books in the Bible that have a very clear picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, most of the books of the Bible have something akin to that. Some of them go out, just pointedly say it, and others are more metaphorical than others. And Philemon is a book, and I just want to tell you right up front what's happening here, and so you can see the picture. And this is a beautiful picture. It's a picture that applies to you and I. There are three principal characters in this book. There is a man named Philemon. We're going to talk about him tonight. And Philemon is the primary addressee of the book. He's the one the book is written to. He is a man of some means. He lives in Colossae. He is acquainted with the Apostle Paul. It appears that Paul led him to the Lord, either directly or indirectly. And he had a servant, and we can just use the word slave if you like, but the word servant's a little bit more pleasant to say. He had a servant, a bond servant, named Onesimus. Onesimus was a servant of Philemon, and interestingly enough, Onesimus' name means profitable. And so here's how profitable Onesimus started out. Onesimus started out by stealing from Philemon and running away. So that's not very profitable. But there's a play on words here that you'll see somewhere in the middle of the book, and I won't spend too much time on it tonight, where as the children come in, go ahead, come on in, take your time. There's a play on words where Paul says to Philemon, he says, you know, Onesimus is profitable to you now, because here's what happened. Onesimus stole from Philemon and ran away and wound up apparently in prison with Paul. And folks, if you wound up in prison with Paul, you were going to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he got saved. Praise the Lord. He got saved. And now everything's different. So Paul writes a letter to Philemon saying, I want you to take Onesimus back. And I want you to receive him. Now, Philemon could have had him punished as a runaway slave. He could have, I would presume, he could have even had his life if he had chosen. But Paul says to Philemon, I want you to receive Onesimus kindly because now he's a brother in Christ. Now, watch this picture. I'm not going to preach on this tonight, but watch this picture, okay? You and I are portrayed, we are pictured, we are demonstrated by, we are like Onesimus. We sinned against God and ran away from God, if you will, and guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ died for us anyway. Paul is a picture in this book. He's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I won't show it to you tonight, but I probably can't help myself. In a couple of weeks, we'll look at this a little bit more after VBS. But Paul says some things that are just exactly what Christ would say about us. For example, Paul says, Onesimus has sinned against you, but Philemon, if Onesimus owes you anything, just put it on my account. I'll pay it. And so, now stay with me, Philemon is a picture of God the Father, Paul, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Onesimus, a picture of you and I. And it is a picture of intercession, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on our behalf, comes before God the Father, and he says, if you owe anything, I'll pay it. Amen? And that's the kind of Savior that we have, and that's the picture in this book. I want to zero in on one man. I've only got about 10 minutes, but I think I can do this in about 10. Of course, we'll see what happens, but I promise you I'll stop in 15. How's that sound? And you're saying, yeah, right, Pastor. So let's look at this man named Philemon. And I just want to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm just going to read the first few verses. I'm going to read down through verse 7, and we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels. Let's stop right there. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you that we have a church. Thank you that we have the opportunity to come to this place and to gather together and to pray for these great needs that we've named tonight. And Lord, we believe with all of our hearts that you have commanded us to pray. You've given us the privilege to pray, and you've promised to answer our prayers. And God, we know that because of our prayers tonight and our faithfulness to continue praying, that you will do things that otherwise would not have been done. We thank you for that. We thank you for that privilege of being a part of your work. And we do pray that each thing we request tonight would be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that would glorify him. Father, tonight we pray you'd bless our time in the Word of God. Bless each one here. Thank you so much for our visitors tonight. Be a blessing to them especially, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, put yourself, just for a moment, you have no choice in the matter, by the way. You, just for a moment, need to put yourself in Philemon's shoes, okay? So you're thinking about it in terms of Philemon. And Paul has written to you, and he has said, I know that Onesimus has done you wrong, that he has run away, that he stole from you, that he has been ungodly towards you, but I am asking you to forgive him. I'm asking you to receive him as if you were to receive me, Paul. That's what he's saying to you. And when you put yourself in that situation, maybe you can relate a little bit to the importance of this man named Philemon. He has a decision to make. He can choose to punish Onesimus. He can choose to judge Onesimus or whatever he'd like to do to be vindictive towards him because of the offense. Or he can choose to forgive him. This is not a message on forgiveness, but the character of Philemon is paramount. Now, let's put you in a different role for a second. What if you were Onesimus? If you were Onesimus, the slave who ran away, and that's more like what we are, because in terms of the illustration I've given you here, Paul, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, comes to Philemon, a picture of God, and says, charge their offense to my account. And we, as that Onesimus, we have sinned against that God, but the Lord Jesus Christ intercedes on our behalf. If you were Onesimus, what kind of person would you want Philemon to be? What kind of person is Onesimus hoping Philemon will be? Again, I'm not preaching on forgiveness, but I got to say this. Folks, when you forgive, you never lose anything. Because what you do when you forgive is you obey God, and then God takes care of things. Amen? There are times, there's some things that you can do in life where you cannot lose as far as eternity is concerned. Now, I just want to show you some things about Philemon tonight, and I've got to rush. So let's look at these quickly if you could. But look at three things. First of all, in verse 5, he says in verse 4, he says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. And then he says, hearing of thy faith, thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Now, the three things that I'm going to show you tonight about Philemon, and I'll be brief, are all things that other people could see. Folks, people can see what kind of Christian we are. They can see whether or not we're faithful. They can see whether or not we love the Lord. They can see whether or not we trust the Lord. They can see on our face whether we have a face that is flush with worry or a face that is confident in God. People can see what our faith and our love. They really can. All three things about Philemon that you're going to see tonight are things that could be seen. In the first one, he says, look at the word there in verse 5, hearing of thy love and faith. Somebody or a number of bodies had said to Paul, Philemon is a man that loves God and has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Philemon is a man that is outstanding in that area. Somebody had seen that and pointed that out to Paul. He didn't say, I saw it. He says, I heard about it. Now, it's a revealing question. What would people hear about us if others were talking about our faith and our love? Would they hear that we had a strong faith? Would they hear that we're faithful? Would they hear that we love the Lord Jesus Christ enough to serve Him and to sacrifice for Him and to tell others about Him? Amen? I hope they would. And that's what Paul says. He says, listen, I already know something about you, Philemon, because other people have told me about your faith and your love in verse 5. Jesus Christ was loved and trusted by him, and men knew it. In fact, he says in verse 6, he says, let me jump down, if I could, to verse 7, the bottom of verse 7. He says, the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. And that's a second thing there. It wasn't just that he had an obvious faith and an obvious love for the Lord Jesus Christ, but he also had a habit of refreshing the saints. And once again, that's something you can see. I would ask myself the second question, if I could, and that is, when others interact with us, are we refreshing or are we discouraging? We ought to be refreshing, amen? I ask myself, what does it mean to be refreshing? Here's a couple of thoughts. Do you have an outlook that assumes that God is going to keep his promises, an outlook that is encased in faith, or do you have doubt? I enjoy being around people that say, I can't wait until God keeps his promise. I know he's going to. Amen? You know, they're about to throw Daniel in the lion's den. I don't think Daniel was saying, oh, please don't do this. Daniel knew good and well his God could protect him. And when they tossed him in there, he just let God do the job. And I'd like to have met Daniel, because I think Daniel, even just reading what he writes in the book of Daniel, he was a refreshing man to be around. He was a man that prayed and God answered his prayer. He was a man that was close to God. You folks, you and I can be refreshing to others. Amen? We can, and we ought to endeavor to do so. And I know some of us are more upbeat than others, and some of us have a tendency to smile more than others. There's some people that just seem to always be in a good mood, and some people that aren't quite such in a good mood. But we really ought to endeavor to show other people something that refreshes them rather than discourages them. Amen? And I think we can do that. That's what Philemon was like. We ought to be a vigorous part of the work. We ought to be involved. It refreshes me when folks want to serve God, when folks want to go out and serve God. When they say, Pastor, I can do that job. Pastor, I can fulfill that commitment. Pastor, I can meet that need. That's encouraging to me. And it's not just because I want to get the job done. But folks, when you serve God, there's eternal reward for that. And that's one of the ways we show Jesus that we love him. And if you love him, you will want to serve him. And when I see the Holy Spirit working in your life, and he draws you closer to him, he gives you a greater desire to be faithful, or he gives you more confidence in the promises of God, or when the word of God affects you and you make decisions because of it and you take steps forward for Christ because of it, that's refreshing. It's the people that turn their back on the Bible that discourage me. It's the people that turn their back on the church that can be discouraging, and the Lord can overcome that as well. You know, there are folks that are refreshing. They remind everyone that Christ is going to come through. They give others support and not criticism. They have a smile on their face. I wrote it down this way. They are faithfully faithful. Some people that you just know they're going to be there. I was looking through a list. Mark Hall has been faithful to keep track of Sunday school attendance for months. In fact, the sheet that I'm working off of starts in February, and it goes all the way through the first part of June. So February, March, April, and May, and part of June. And there's one Sunday that we missed for some reason, and I forgot the reason, but I didn't count that. But other than that, there are some people here, and on Sunday morning in Sunday school, I'm going to recognize you for perfect attendance in Sunday school. Don't make that the Sunday you're not here, amen? And I know some of you couldn't be here. You were traveling or you were out of town, and I'm going to have some honorable mentions. There were some folks that just missed a couple of times. There were some folks that just missed three or four times. But there's some folks that were here every single Sunday. And when I saw some of those names, I thought, yeah, I kind of thought that would be one of them. Because there's some folks, you just know they're faithful. I don't know if you know this or not, but on Sunday mornings and on Sunday nights and on Wednesday nights, I try to get here about half an hour to 35 minutes early. You say, Pastor, why so early? Two reasons. Number one, the air conditioner. In fact, we try to get it going before that when the summer's really hot. But secondly, I try to get here early because I know with no doubt in my mind that at about 25 till or on a bad night at about 20 till or a bad morning at about 20 till, Mr. and Mrs. Hickson are going to walk through that gate every single week. And I want that gate open when they get here. Amen. I guess I should give him the combination, but I think that that's commendable that someone would be early and on time to church every time the doors are open. There's a reward in heaven for that, folks. That's the way it ought to be. And you say, well, Pastor, I can't be early. Well, please be here, amen? And I'm preaching to the choir. Here you are. That's refreshing. Let's be refreshing to one another. You say, Pastor, I've got terrible trials in my life right now. I need to be refreshed. That's okay. And that's fine. We can be refreshing to you if we can, because we have faith in God, and I know you do too, but we're going to tell you about that. And then when God comes through for you, you just remember, then you can be refreshing to somebody else. Amen? This was a man that was refreshing. You know what I'm talking about. He had a habit of being that way to the saints. I'm going to finish. Number one, he had a love and a faith that people could see. He had a habit of refreshing the saints that people could see. And now really quick, verse 21, and we'll finish. Look at this. Philemon, verse 21. Paul says to Philemon, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Now, let me just read between the lines there. Here's what Paul says. Philemon, I know you well enough that I know if I ask you to do something, you'll go even beyond that. That you'll do even more. And I like that word. This is not a popular word in verse 21. He says, having confidence in thy obedience. I don't want to start something I can't finish, but let me just say it real quickly. It's not just that God gives us the privilege of serving him and of loving him and of being faithful to him. He commands those things. Amen? I mean, it is our responsibility, not just our privilege. Now, I hope you come to church because it's a privilege. Hope you come to church because you want to hear from God and you want to be encouraged. And I want you to know God will honor that. And he will do things in your life that he wouldn't otherwise do. And tonight, yeah, what a great night. We gather, we pray. God's going to do things he wouldn't have otherwise done. There's no doubt about that. But I think we need to remember, I'm not just here because it feels good, which it does, or because it's a blessing, which it is, or because I need prayer, which we do, but I'm here because God said to be here. Amen? And there are commands that Paul knows that Philemon has heard, and he knows this, Philemon cares what God thinks. Philemon wants to obey God. So when God says that he ought to forgive, Philemon is a man that says, I know God wants me to forgive. That's what I'm going to do. And folks, others can see our obedience, can't they? It is a privilege. Life is so short. And the older we get, the more we realize how short it is. And I'm just telling you, James makes it clear, if I needed to prove it with Scripture, that it's like a vapor. It appears for a little time and vanishes away. It won't be long until we're in eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. You have a little bit of time in this life with which to serve God. Don't waste that time worrying and being doubtful. Don't waste that time being discouraged and letting others see it. Trust God. Love Him. Let Him work in your life. Don't waste that time being a burden to other folks. Be refreshing to them. Ask yourself the question, what can I do to be refreshing to the saints? And don't waste that time disobeying God. God doesn't ask nearly so much of us as we might think He does. If we would just do what He asks, He can do some great things through us. Amen? Brother Hickson and I have been joking about it a little bit. Seems like as of late, we just about can't go out without seeing somebody get saved. I wish it was always that way. Perhaps it will be. I can't say it won't. You know, we went and went and went and went and went and didn't see anybody get saved. But we don't go because we're going to see somebody saved. We go because God says go. And now, every week, one, two, I've lost track. I've got them written down, but I've lost track in my mind of how many people have prayed in that trailer court over there. You know, when I came here about a year ago, one of the main prayers this church had was we wanted to reach our community for Christ. Folks, we're making a difference in our community. They know who we are. People are getting saved. Let's keep going. Some of them are going to get baptized eventually. Some of them are going to join the church eventually. Some of them will be discipled and they'll become servants of God. Let's just keep on being faithful. Philemon was somebody Paul had confidence in. And folks, you and I can be that kind of person. Amen? Say, Pastor, I don't know a whole lot. I know. So just take what you do know and use it for God's glory. The promises you do know, cling to them, learn some more. You say, Pastor, I got big obstacles in my life. Been there, done that. That doesn't mean our God's any smaller, does it? You'll say, Pastor, it's hard sometimes to do what God says. I know, just keep on keeping on, as one man said. Ask God to forgive you. Get up, brush the dust off your knees, and keep going for God. And folks, in due season, we will reap if we faint not. Amen? I believe our God enough to believe that. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes very briefly, and then we'll be on our way.